Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Well, there have been some pretty big leaks out of Pokemon, and we wanted to talk about this, but we wanted to do it as spoiler-free as possible, because I know a lot of people are like, don't tell me the leaks. But there are some things that we learned that surprised us, so let's talk about it in a spoiler-free way and try to just kind of wade through all this information to see what it means sort of for like the future of Pokemon, because this kind of gives us a little bit of a roadmap for that.
Yeah, this was an interesting video for us to approach because this is a continuation of the big leak that happened a while ago. More information from that was shared, and it was not obtained through ethical means. You know, it's something that, yes, it's out there. Yes, we encountered it. Like I wasn't searching this stuff out. I just came across it in my, you know, my time out on the internet, the streets of the internet. Like, oh, here we go. Here it all is. So I do think it's something that, you know, some people might be looking to avoid to some degree. But then there's, you know, there's other people who are out there who are seeking this out. There's other people, you just can't avoid it. So yeah. I think it's something that we did want to talk about, but in sort of a careful way. And again, acknowledge like, This is not information that was obtained through great methods or you know, positive methods or anything like that. But it is what it is. It is out there. And there are some interesting things to glean from that. So that's what we're going to do today with these five takeaways that we have.
Yeah. So let's jump right into it. The first thing is that plans are fluid and they change all the time. And you might think, you know, like a big company like Pokemon, like Game Freak, they got it all figured out. You know, they have these plans sort of all written in stone and they're just following this path. But no, it's very clear from what we've learned here that things shift a lot and they're very fluid and it could really depend on various factors for when games are coming out and when what consoles they're originally planned for. So that was pretty surprising that even, you know, big companies like Pokemon and Game Freak have such fluidity in their planning and roadmapping.
Yeah, and this is something that I think you and I were pretty, you know, already aware of working, you know, within the industry. But yeah, game development these days is such a long and arduous process that there's a lot that can shift around at really at any given moment. And part of the information that is out there is, you know, roadmaps and launch plans. And, you know, not all of it is current up to date. Like some of it's from a little while ago. So, for example, you know, originally Pokemon Legends ZA was planned for a 2024 release. There was a different game that was planned to be out this year. And for whatever reason, those dates change. And obviously, we've got Pokemon Legends ZA coming out this week. And that's really one of the nefarious things about the people who are releasing this information is like all of this stuff the same week as the new Pokemon game comes out. I think there's a lot of intentionality behind that. And I think that's one of the things that I do sort of worry about as part of this leak is like everybody's going to assume that everything in this is like the gospel and written in stone. And oh, this is exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And it's like, we don't know that. Like, you know, not everything is fresh. Not everything is going to go to the letter of how it is written in these documents. And we saw that with Xbox when they were doing the merger with Activision and they had to go through some of that stuff in the legal process. And they were like, yeah, you know, this was a plan then. This game's not happening or this got delayed. This stuff happens all the time in gaming. So it's definitely interesting to see it apply to Pokemon, who is so very meticulous about planning everything out. Even for them, things can move around. And I think we should expect that to continue as these games get bigger and more complicated.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff goes through a pretty long period of time as well, like all the way through, you know, nearly 2030, which is a crazy year to say out loud, by the way. So Yeah, in that time, you would expect, you know, lots of things to change plans. Obviously, when they were discussing Pokemon Legends ZA, I'm sure, you know, the Switch 2 launching was a huge factor. So there's also these outside factors that can come in to change the plans for when things are coming out and when things are going to get released. So yeah, definitely, I think while it's pretty interesting to see this kind of long roadmap to see what they're thinking of doing, it's also good to keep in mind that all the stuff could be changing along the way as well.
Right, right. The next thing that we learned is something that was really interesting for you and I to see, because it's about the budgets of these games. And yeah, that is information that we never learned about.
Yeah, that was so interesting.
We're always so curious about, like, well, how much does a typical game made by Nintendo cost? Or what about like a really ambitious game, like a Tears of the Kingdom? How much would that cost?
Yeah.
And that was something that we never even got close to sniffing the details of. And I think we always had a feeling like, yeah, these games are probably a lot cheaper to make than they are, you know, if you're making a, you know, a PS5 GTA, exclusive or something like that.
Yeah.
But even this information here was kind of shocking for me to see.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
So what was shared was Pokemon Legends ZA, which again is the game that's coming out this week. The information that was shared was 2 billion yen, which comes to about $13 million US. And then there's the game after that, which we're not going to say what it is, but it's going to be more ambitious than that. That came in at 3 billion yen, which is approximately $20 million. I will say, I think that is strictly the game production, and there are other things that go into the total budget, like marketing.
Marketing, yeah.
Which, for Pokemon games, is a significant amount of money. We know, we have
that,
seen
that money we do know about. The development budgets we never saw, but for sure the marketing budgets, we understand what that is like. And obviously this is a AAA game, a very important game for Nintendo and Pokemon to market. So those marketing budgets were pretty significant as well.
Right. So I did a bit of math, Krista. If you have a game, let's just go off of this $13 million number.
Trying to make a profit or what?
How many units do you need to sell to break even off $13 million?
How much does the game cost again? $70.
Let's say $70.
So, oh gosh, I don't know. I can't do the
math. It's under 200,000 units for you to break even, and I'm pretty confident that Pokemon Legends ZA is going to eke past 200,000 units sold.
Yeah.
So it's just a remarkably low number. And it does kind of change, you know, the conversation around like, well, why have these Pokemon games felt a little lackluster in certain departments in terms of graphics, in terms of polish? It does make you wonder like, yeah, maybe they should inject a bit more money into these things that are guaranteed cash cows, like profit drivers, all of that. It's like you have a lot more headroom. You don't need to worry about profitability like some of these big AAA games that we're seeing now. That's like, oh my gosh, we spent $100 million and we sold millions and we just still didn't break even. It's like that is not the case here at all. So this of all the things that we're talking about today, this is the one that I find the most fascinating.
I don't get this at all. I truly don't understand the strategy that some business person over there came up with, because you got a sure thing. You know what I mean? Like, they have a sure thing that will sell, and it's sold time and time again. It's never had, you know, an issue with sales. So why not invest a little bit more? I'm not saying like $100 million more. Just like, you know, maybe double the budget just so you don't have crappy trees and windows. I don't
know.
Might
as well.
It just seems like a little bit like it's just really cheap. It's like that person that's like, no, I have to, you know, I need to like for some reason save the $5, even though my salary is like $500,000 a year. It's like, why are you doing this at the expense of what, you know?
Right.
So this part just really baffles me. And again, even if they have the world's biggest marketing budget ever, they would still make like almost like 50x profit, right? Based on the quick and dirty math that you just did. So it feels like almost like wrong that they would not like reinvest a bit into their most important franchises.
Right. Especially when there's recognition of like, oh, you know, we got this feedback, this pushback on this product.
Yeah.
When you think of like, well, what can we do to address that? It's like, there's a lot of things. The saying goes, money can solve a lot of problems.
Throw money at the problem.
And guess what? You have money. So maybe spend some of it. And again, we're taking these numbers with a grain of salt because there's a lot of different things that go into the total cost of a game. But anyway, you slice it, it's remarkably low.
It is.
Yes. Next is around just sort of the scope of some of these future projects. And again, we're not going to go into a ton of detail in case you don't want to know that. But I think maybe there was some thought after Scarlet and Violet and, you know, the areas where those games fell short, some people might say like, okay, they bit off more than they can chew. They're going to scale back on the ambitions for some of these games. But no, that is not the case. Some of the things that they're talking about in these games seem incredibly ambitious in an extent that I find slightly worrying based on how often they're going to be releasing games, how many games they seem to have in the hopper at once, and how quickly they're sort of escalating the scope and the features of some of these games.
Yeah, this one is interesting. I'm glad that they weren't like dampened by some of the issues they had with Scarlet and Violet and you know, really pull back or, you know, let it sort of curb the creativity of thinking big and futuristically about Pokemon and mainline Pokemon. So I like that part of it. It's like they didn't let that that whole thing with Scarlet and Violet kind of take away any creative ideas or ambitious ideas they had for the future, which is a good thing. I am worried that the thing that they're trying to make with all of these crazy elements is a 3 billion yen budget. Because because for just one more billion than Pokemon ZA, I'm going to think you need a little bit more money to do the things that they want to do.
And again, some of the things that we're talking about are a more ambitious open world, a lot of deeper online elements that might veer into like MMO territory.
Yeah.
Bringing together, different individual game areas and sort of weaving them into one really big seamless area.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like it sounds really ambitious for any developer to consider some of these things. But again, you consider like how rapidly these games are becoming larger, becoming bigger in scope. But again, like how constantly they're coming out. It is something where it's like, I don't know how this is all going to work out. Like on paper, it's like, well, that sounds amazing. Like that sounds like a dream come true Pokemon game. But like, well, the way things have been going the last couple of years, I don't know. And again, maybe this goes back to our earlier point of things can change, where maybe once they get going on these games, it's, God, oh, we can't do this. And you know, some of that scope gets scaled back a little bit. Again, that's where I really worry about fans. Like, this is absolutely what it's going to be. I'm going to be so crushed if it's not this.
Exactly.
Because who knows?
Exactly. It may not be
once the rubber hits the road. But at least the way that they're thinking about these games, like they did not hold back on any of this.
Yeah, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. But it's like, can you execute it though?
Right.
Is the other thing. And do you have sort of the, you know, obviously you have the budget to be able to execute large projects like this. You have very, very well established there. But, you know, do you have sort of the foundation to be able to execute something this ambitious? And also, what's better or worse? Is it better to have like a very straightforward, unambitious next game that works? Or is it better to have a very ambitious next game that maybe has some issues? I actually don't know the answer to that, because I feel like, there's a lot of things that we all expect from this like very big, very important game that's coming out. And don't know, this kind of stuff just makes people's heads spin a little bit, I think, because both options seem kind of bad, honestly. So
yeah,
so it's going to be up to them to kind of figure out how to you know, thread that needle a little bit. So it is a tough thing, I think.
Yeah. Next is another sort of behind the curtain game development detail. And again, you know, some of the things that were taken and shared here are really detailed game release schedules and development schedules. And what we learned is, you know, what you mentioned earlier, that Game Freak has projects kind of plotted out through 2030, mm-hmm. into the next decade.
Oof, that's a long time from now.
Which, again, I think is something that, you know, we knew having a bit of insight into game development in the past and sort of, you know, the need to think really long term. But I think as fans, like, you know, most fans are thinking game to game, but there does need to be a common thread from a development standpoint from a single studio. And again, not everything is at the same, you know, amount of development into it. And some things are in pre-production and some things are just, you know, words on a piece of paper at some point. But for them to have that, and we're talking about, like, you know, a half dozen projects to be plotted out, is interesting for people to see and to start to grasp.
Yeah, I feel like when we were at Nintendo, we definitely saw these types of things before, like roadmaps for games and plans. But I've never seen one that is that far into the future. You know, 2030 is in like 5.5 years.
We're closer to 2030 than we are to 2020, Krista.
That's true. That's very true. It's in like 5.5 years.
Next year's 2026.
That's true.
That's in 3 months.
3 months. Yeah.
So we're basically at 2030. We're basically there.
Basically going to die soon. Got it. Okay. Yeah, if I make it to 2030, that would be a feat. But yes, it is amazing to see the long-term planning and sort of going back to what we were saying before too, like they just got a lot of stuff that they're working on, like maybe too many things that they're working on, because not only do they have, you know, the big like mainline Pokemon games, they got like projects like Pokepedia, which we saw in the latest Nintendo Direct. And, you know, they're planning, of course, support for games that are already out. You know, ZA comes out this week, and I'm sure there's going to be stuff for that. So it's just like, do you have the manpower, bandwidth to do this? it really just seems like a lot for them. And yeah, sometimes I wonder if they would really benefit from some editing of, you know, all the stuff that they're doing. But you can't fault them for being very ambitious with not only the scope of the games that they want to make, but also the amount of games they want to make. So yeah, it is quite the interesting chart, you know, planning document to get a bit of insight into.
Yeah. And you can also extrapolate that this long-term planning applies to all the other arms of the Pokemon brand. So
I'm sure
cards, TV shows, movies, mm-hmm. all the other stuff.
Yeah.
They have so many hooks into one thing from the other. Just imagine having to be the mastermind who's in charge of this like spider web.
Is it the hot guy?
Of different projects through, you know, the next 5+ years. My gosh, that's
the
hot guy. Tricky proposition.
I think that's why he's hot.
Oh.
He's thinking about this deeply.
That's why his hair's gone gray as well.
And is making him hotter
yes.
and smarter.
Okay,
good. that's my takeaway from that.
Our last point here is not related to any specific detail of the leaks, but it's just really kind of us continuing to bang this drum that we've been banging for the last year plus, which is that Nintendo and Pokemon really need to rethink their approach to information security. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. these are companies that are obsessive about preserving surprises, not being sources of leaks, and yet these are the companies that have probably, you know, two of the companies with the most ongoing significant leaks that we've seen in the entire industry. You know, we're talking about, you know, all of the Switch 2 leaks that happened leading up to the Switch 2 launch. And now this just protracted ongoing leak of almost everything related to Pokemon, it's just such a, it's such a damaging thing for them to have happen. And it is something that I really feel bad for them about, because like, we know how obsessively fans like pick this stuff apart and obsess over it and get so into the details. I just feel like it's going to have a long-term negative effect on the way that they have to approach all of this stuff. But they need to really like look in the mirror and be like, what are we doing wrong? Because we think we're great at this, but based on the results, you're actually not.
I do wonder too, and I think I've asked this question before, and I'll ask it again here. Like, what do people prefer? Do they prefer the transparency from a company to just like share this kind of information? Maybe not through 2030, but some of the more, you know, upcoming projects that they really do know mostly what's going to happen with those. I mean, share it with a grain of salt with your fans. Like, yeah, these plans might change, but here's what we're thinking. This is what we're planning for. Do people prefer that approach where you do get this kind of like transparency behind the scenes for, you know, Pokemon or Nintendo, where you're just getting this information? You don't need to have a leaker, you know, nefariously get the information and then post it all over the internet. You're just getting it straight from the Pokemon company or from Nintendo. Or do you prefer the other way, where you do get surprised and we still try to like desperately hold on to the element of surprise, which is, you know, frankly harder and harder to do these days because these leakers are so good at getting all the information. Clearly Nintendo and Pokemon have really bad information security, because things continue to leak endlessly. And, you know, we were talking about this before the Direct, like months before the Direct, the dates leak and the stuff leaks. So yeah, I just wonder, you know, are we just fighting a losing battle in terms of preserving the element of surprise, because it's just too hard now to stop this kind of stuff? And perhaps the better way is just for us to get the information, or are you still holding out hope for, you know, information getting locked back down and you getting surprised? I don't know where I honestly fall either way, but it's just an interesting thing to think about, because this is kind of the age that we live in now.
My take on this, just based on our own experiences dealing with leaks at Nintendo, is they, I feel, when something happens, tighten up the same potential places of leaks, and they just keep tightening and tightening the same places. But there are other places that are leak vectors that are maybe not being addressed, maybe not being tightened up, and maybe growing. It's like, oh my gosh, we're so fixated on this one thing. Oh, we have to tighten this up. We have to tighten this up. It's like, what if it was never that in the first place and you're entirely focused on the wrong thing? Mm-hmm. I think it's time for them to expand. If they're really serious about like, this can never happen, this must never happen again, they need to expand the scope of how they are thinking about this, because it's often not the thing that you think is, you know, where this is all coming from.
It's really interesting too, at Nintendo, like they had a lot of things that were sort of like perceived security measures that did nothing. Like one example that was very kind of an annoyance for us is like, they would never let you have any sort of direct communication between your personal device and your work device. So we were on the social team, and we would have the hardest time like transferring a photo from your phone to your computer so you could post it, you know, post it on Nintendo's social channels, because they basically severed the link between your personal device and your work device. And a lot of times the reasoning behind that was like, whoa, we have to lock down the security. We have to tighten the security. Like these kinds of things that they were fixated on does nothing to, you know, prevent leakers from hacking your stuff. Like preventing your employees from doing stuff like that didn't really help the leak situation at all, even though that was the reason they said they were doing stuff like this. So it's like this perceived false security that a lot of companies are fixated on, and they don't address the actual problem. So yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there, but hey, this ain't it. If they're trying to stop these leaks, they're not. So the things that they're doing, like the silly things that they used to do to, you know, quote unquote, tighten security, those are not working. So think of a different thing to do.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the five things that we wanted to talk about. And yeah, there's gradations of leaks. You know, there's like, oh, the thing we were going to post on the website showed up a day early, and then now you got every single plane you had for the next 5 years appearing on the internet, which is a yikes level leak. But again, like it's something that these in this day and age is like it's kind of hard to avoid. So right. You know, we hope that we have approached this in a way, you know, that meets everybody's level of comfort with it. If you want to find that stuff, you probably know where to go.
You probably already saw it.
You probably have already seen some.
I was not searching for this, and it was literally
a lot of it's
all
hard to
over
avoid.
My feed. So whether right. I wanted to be spoiled or not, I didn't really care. I saw everything. I saw the images. I saw the documents. I saw the maps. I saw it all. So, and it was served to me. So, I mean. Right. I don't honestly know how anyone's avoiding it at all these days, unless you're just living under, put your head in a hole or something like that. But that is unfortunately what it is. Wow. Anyhow, what do you think about these leaks? Are you excited about what you saw? Are you worried about what you saw? Do you wish the Pokemon Company would spend more money on games? Tell us in the comments. We are going to wrap this video up and we'll see you later.